All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15. And Father, we look to you to speak into our hearts today. And Lord, you brought us here to hear your word, your eternal truths. Lord, we pray that we'll have ears to hear. Prepare our hearts to hear your voice speaking into us today. In Jesus' name, amen. John 6, verses 12 through 15, the title of this message is How to Handle Frustration, Part 2. How to Handle Frustrations, Part 2. Now, in part one of this study, we saw how busyness, testings, and trials can cause us to be frustrated to the point where we are short, snappy, and rude to people, especially towards those closest to us. And we saw how we need to come apart to be with Jesus in prayer and Bible study before we fall apart at the seams. And so we left off with Jesus feeding the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blessed them and gave it to the disciples, and they gave it to the multitudes. So what happened when they ate as much as they wanted, according to the end of verse 11? Well, that brings us to verse 12. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, stop right there. So when they were filled, the Greek word for filled is empilemi, and it means to be full or stuffed or glutton. The same Greek word is used in Acts 4:17, where it says, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. We understand this word epilemi whenever we go to the buffet, whenever we eat. We understand it means full, it means stuffed, glutton to capacity. We know that this is what this verse is saying, because the end of verse 11 says they ate as much as they wanted. So what does this mean to us? It means that Jesus is able to fill or satisfy us completely. And this is good for us to know, living in a world that seeks to be satisfied with all kinds of things, is that Jesus is able to satisfy us completely. Things only satisfy us temporarily. People only can satisfy us temporarily. Food can only satisfy us temporarily. But Jesus is able to satisfy us completely. In other words, we don't have to look to people or things or hobbies or habits to try to satisfy us. If we really want to be satisfied, if we really want to be filled, stuffed to capacity, then let Jesus satisfy the deepest longing in your soul. Let him fill epilemi. Let him fill your life with himself. Look what he says in the second part of verse 12. Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Now, why were there leftovers? I mean, why were there fragments left? I mean, did Jesus miscalculate? Did he look over the crowd and say there are about 20,000 people counting women and children when there were really about 19,000? No, this shows us what Ephesians 3:20 says, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. That the Lord can and will overflow our lives with his blessings. What else does this teach us? It teaches us that if we are feeling fragmented emotionally, frustrated, broken in pieces spiritually, if you are feeling like someone has made you feel like you are leftover relationally, Jesus will gather you up. And so you're not lost in despair and desperation. I say this because there are many of you that have come here emotionally fragmented, broken, and in pieces. Some relationship has frustrated you and left you feeling like a leftover. Not sure if you can make it another day. Jesus cares about you, and he can gather you up emotionally and spiritually so that you aren't lost. He can give you significance so that you aren't feeling like someone's leftover. He can gather you up just like the disciples did here. Well, what happened? Verse 13, it says, therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. I want to draw your attention to the word therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to see what it's there for. Therefore, wherefore is a form of a conjunction that always takes us back to what was previously said. Well, in verse 12, Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. So Jesus gave this command in verse 12. So therefore, in verse 13, says they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments or leftovers. So the disciples were able to see God do exceedingly abundantly above all they can ask or even think because they obey what Jesus said. I wonder what it is God is waiting and wanting to bless us, but he's waiting on us to obey him first. He's wanting to bless you with a godly man, but you keep insisting on settling for these ungodly, unsaved men, and you're frustrated. And you wonder why you're frustrated. When people tell me about what's going on in their marriage or going on in some boyfriend, girlfriend situation, I always look at them and I just say, you knew this from the start. You brought this on yourself. I'm not, you know, and I try to warn you. You remember I always tell you I'm your friend. And I try to warn you, but you keep ignoring the commands of the word, and then you come to me complaining. And I just look at you like, you brought that on yourself. So just, you know, you heard me say it, snuggle up in the bed, get real comfy with that. Because you made that bed, and you need to lie in it. So it will teach you to obey the commands of the Lord. And so I just wonder what it is God wants to bless us. But he's waiting on us to obey his command. These disciples saw Jesus do great things with their own eyes, and God abundantly blessed them because they obeyed his command. Something else I want to bring to your attention, and that is when the disciples obeyed the command of Jesus and made the people sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties that we talked about last week, they passed the food out and got involved and ended up, watch this, being blessed as a result. Why? Or how should I say? How were they blessed? Well, they end up gathering up 12 baskets of leftovers, one for each disciple. See, this is why it is so important to get involved in some kind of ministry, because not only will you see God bless people through you, but you end up being blessed as well. You won't see these things happen in your life as long as you stay in your seat and do nothing, frustrated as you see others being blessed and not you. Blessings come as you get involved like the disciples. They got involved in the ministry of handing out the fragments to the people, and they ended up being blessed because each of them walked away with a basket of leftovers. As you get involved, you get blessed. As you sit, you're frustrated. As you sit and do nothing, you're looking at others being blessed, and you're like, well, where's my blessings? Your blessings come. Your basket of fragments and leftovers come when you get involved. That's when it comes. Look at verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Now this verse says, then those men, referring to the 5,000 men who ate, according to verse 10, they saw what Jesus did and said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, this was a messianic prophecy given by Moses in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. It is no doubt this particular event, this miraculous event, reminded the crowd of how Moses, God used Moses, and how God brought down manna from heaven and provided for their ancestors in the wilderness. And Jesus performed this miracle to show the people he was truly the Messiah they had been waiting for. The people were able to connect what Jesus did in the feeding of the 5,000 with what Moses said the Messiah would do. Let me ask you this question. Can you take what is going on in the world today and connect it to what the Bible says would happen in the last days before Jesus returns? Or are you becoming more and more out of touch with what the Bible says are signs before his return? Let me tell you something. I'm not shocked at all by anything that is going on in our world today. What I am shocked by, I'm shocked by how rapid it's happening. But I'm not shocked by the events that are taking place. Why? Because I'm connecting with what's going on in the world and what Jesus said will be the signs for us to look for before his return. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14, it says, "Let no one deceive you," meaning that before Jesus Christ comes back, there will be people out trying to deceive you. He said there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places. There will be diseases, all forms of incurable diseases. Jesus said all these things are the beginning of sorrows. He said many false prophets will arise and deceive many. The love of many will grow cold. People are cold today, cold-hearted, kill you in cold blood. Because the Bible says the love of many will grow cold. And watch this. Watch this next thing that Jesus said will be a sign before he returns. I love this. Watch this. Many will be offended. Oh, isn't everyone offended by every little thing? Through the whole political correctness movement. Everybody's offended. I'm offended this. I'm offended. You said that. I'm offended. I'm just offended. Everybody's so touchy and offended. You know what blew me away? I heard this story. It's just amazing to me. You know, this is the big thing. You know, our close proximity to D.C. is a big thing that, you know, the trying to force the Redskins to change their name and all this kind of stuff. Y'all heard a story. This is good. There's a high school, a public high school on a Navajo reservation. Public high school. Guess what their nickname is? The Redskins. So the Native Americans at their high school nicknamed the Redskins. They aren't offended, but everybody else just offended, touchy. And they really offended at Christian things. I'm offended at the cross. I'm offended at your Bible. I'm offended at the Ten Commandments. I'm offended that you prayed. So we're going to cut out prayer. I'm just offended. You said in Jesus' name, so we got to cut that out. I'm offended. Everybody's just offended. Jesus said this will be the sign before he returns. Many will be offended. When I read that, I just chuckled. I just had to laugh. I can't wait to share that. Because everybody is touchy about everything. It also says people will betray one another and hate one another. We're living in the last days. But if you're not able to connect the events in this world with what the Bible says, you will be deceived. So what happened when the men said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world"? Verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. Stop right there. Notice how in verse 15 we have the word therefore again. The word therefore starts off verse 15 showing the reason why they were about to take Jesus by force and make him king is because they said in verse 14, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." This verse says when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. The Greek word for perceived is gnosko. It's normally translated to know, or it can be translated to perceive or to be aware of, which is different from the Greek word oida, which means to know, but this knowledge is acquired knowledge. Oida is acquired knowledge. It's knowledge that you get from a book, from studying. Whereas gnosko is intuitive knowledge. Jesus knew through a word of knowledge what their plans were, which was to come and take him by force and make him king. Oh, there's three problems with this whole idea. Number one, we cannot by force make Jesus do anything. Please keep this in mind the next time you think that you can command and demand anything from God. We are his servants. He is in our servants. And we cannot by force make Jesus do anything. That's number one. Number two, they wanted to make Jesus a material political king. A king that would feed them and heal them and overthrow Rome's control over them. Oh, today is no different how people want Jesus in their life for the material benefits he brings. Or they want to gain some political leverage. We see this a lot around election time when candidates will want Jesus to be king in their lives to gain the Christian vote. And the third reason Jesus wasn't into them taking him by force and making him their king is number three, he was already king. You remember what Matthew 2:2 says, when the wise men came to Jerusalem, what did they say? Where is he born king of the Jews? He was already king. Something else I want you to see is when Jesus perceived or knew they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. Let me ask you this. Do you know or perceive why people are approaching you? Now, on the surface, it looks like a good thing that the people wanted to do for Jesus, but Jesus was able to perceive or to know their true motives. They wanted to just use him to give them a good meal or heal their bodies when they got sick or deal with those oppressing them. Do you perceive or know, ladies, when a man is only approaching you to use you sexually? Men, can you perceive or know when a woman is only talking to you because she wants to use you for money? Do you really know or perceive why they want to promote you? Is it because God is promoting you, or do they want to promote you to give you all the weekend shifts that they don't want to work anymore? And to keep you from coming to church. I see this all the time. Oh, the Lord has blessed me. I said, well, what happened? Well, I got promoted on my job. I said, oh, really? Yeah, I got promoted. Well, you won't see me on the weekends anymore. I said, yeah, that's a real blessing, isn't it? Because it's not like, well, you can come out Wednesday night. They ain't coming Wednesday night. And so you have to know. And the only way you can know, or you're going to truly be able to tell why people are approaching you, is through a growing relationship with the one who truly knows the heart of all men, and that's Jesus Christ. And being sensitive to his spirit speaking to you through the word of God. That is the only way you can know or perceive why people are approaching you. Because see, on the surface, it sounds like a good thing. Hey, they wanted to make Jesus their king. Oh, but Jesus knew their motives. He knew why they were doing that. And so to it, you want to know why someone is approaching, why someone is giving you such a good deal, why they're approaching you with such a good thing. You better know. And that's only through a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and being sensitive to his spirit speaking to you through the word of God. That is the only way you can truly know. What should we do when these opportunities come our way? Well, the second part of verse 15, I believe, tells us. He departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Matthew 14:23 says that he went there to pray. And what an awesome example to follow during times of success and popularity, to go somewhere and pray. See, prayer humbles us and shows us our sinfulness and keeps us focused. Jesus saw this as a perfect time to be with the Father. Why? For the purpose of staying focused, staying the course of why he came to this earth, he came to die for the sins of mankind and to make sure that he didn't get thrown off course by the excitement of the crowd. Oh, it is so easy to get thrown off course with what God has for your life by listening to the excitement of the crowd. I have told pastors in the past that teach for me, I tell them, don't listen to the excitement of the crowd and how they applaud you for your message. And it is the greatest message I've ever heard. I say, let me tell you something. They're so accustomed to getting the word of God. You open up the Bible and read the verse. Just read the verse. And they'd be like, that is such a great message. You did such a... I said, don't go and let that become helium. And now you think that you can go start a church. I said, don't do that. Don't listen. Don't listen to the... I said, because the crowd is fickle. One minute they're saying, blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord. The next minute they're saying, crucify him. That's what he did to Jesus. Oh, Jesus came in riding on a donkey and they put out the palm branches. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The very next week, Pilate said, what should I do with him, King of the Jews? They said, crucify him. I said, don't listen to that crowd. Don't listen. I said, don't listen to the people patting all the pats on your back, because it is like helium that will go, and you need, poof, you need a pop, pop, to get through that door. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. Jesus didn't listen to the crowd at this moment. Instead, he listened to the voice of the Father in prayer. And this is a valuable lesson that we need to learn during times of popularity and success. When it comes our way, we need to go and be with the Father in prayer. It keeps us humble. It keeps us focused. And it keeps us on track with what God has for our lives. I have to spend time in prayer to stay focused, to stay on track, and not hear and allow the excitement of the crowd to become helium to my head. As you know, we just came back from Bridge Fest, 6,000 to 10,000 people there. You know, I was one of the speakers on Friday night. Awesome time. Just the highlight for me is just meeting all the listeners up in the New Jersey, New York area that listens to us. And they just, oh, you're such a blessing. You're just, oh, you know, the message. You're my favorite teacher on that. All that kind of stuff. You know, I have to stay in prayer to stay focused. But see, I also have a wife. And my wife keeps me way grounded. Because, you know, I'm hearing all this stuff. You're the great, you're the best, you're my favorite Bible teacher, and you're this. And the next morning I wake up, my wife said, now make that bed up right there. fluffing the pillows. And keeps me way down. As our family would say, let me bring you down a peg or two. And they will too. And that's so we can stay focused. Because you want to be in prayer because you want to hear the voice of the Father above the excitement of the crowd. Let me conclude with this. How to handle frustration. We saw how the blessings of the Lord are so abundant that there are leftovers. And if you feel like a leftover relationally, fragmented emotionally, in pieces spiritually, that Jesus will gather you up to so that you aren't lost in despair and depression. He loves you. He loves you. Every part of you, body, soul, and spirit, so that nothing is lost. And we saw how Jesus knew why the people were coming to take him by force and make him king. Do you know why people are approaching you? It's by developing and cultivating a daily growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is done by spending daily time in prayer, Bible study individually, and coming to church collectively to worship and get taught the word like you're doing right now. The combination of these things will enable you to know or to perceive why people are coming to you. If you don't, you will be flattered by people approaching you and the excitement of the crowd, and you'll get deceived and thrown off course. Finally, when we are frustrated, we need to do what Jesus did in verse 15. He departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Let me ask you this. Do you have a mountain that you can go to that you can be alone with God. We need one. Single parents, I know this is tough when you don't have any help. But we need a place that we can go to get along with God so you don't get deceived by the excitement of the crowd. You can perceive or know why they're coming to you, approaching you with this thing. You can perceive or know. That's by spending daily time with the Lord in prayer and the Word of God. We talk to God in prayer. He speaks to us through the Word. Cultivating that time with the Lord, you'll be able to perceive or know why people are coming to you as well. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for your great love for us, for your word that you share with us. Lord, speak into our hearts. Engrave this word upon our hearts that it may bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And Lord, I pray for those who are here who have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. May today be the day of salvation for them. May they believe that you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Your word said that shall be saved. Lord, I pray for those who are here, who are fragmented, who are, Lord, they feel in pieces. They feel like a leftover. Lord, they're in despair. I pray that they will come to you. Lord, that you will gather them up so that nothing is lost. You love them. You love us. Thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen.